If you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Listen to this quote. "The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference." Read that again. "The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference." That's Charles Darwin, quoted by Richard Dawkins. So the idea is that they look out at the world, and when they see the state that the world is in, well, it just demonstrates that there really is no purpose for life. There's no reason for being here. In 1988, there was a book that really did take the world by storm. It was published, just 5,000 volumes were published, and all of a sudden, by 1992, it had sold more than 5 million copies. And it was an unusual book to become so popular. It was called A Brief History of Time by Stephen Dawkins. Stephen Hawking. When Stephen Hawking wrote this book, he explained, or at least attempted to explain in layman's terms, Einstein's theory of relativity and some other things. And I remember reading it, 20 years ago now, and understanding not really very much of it, because I'm not a physicist. But what Dawkins' book did, or what Hawking's book did, that was a real problem for a lot of people, was he introduced this theory, that now it's called string theory, but he introduced this theory that eventually that physicists could explain the meaning of life. He wanted to take and explain through different scientific fields the four forces. And the four forces that they would be speaking of would be electromagnetism, the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force, and then gravity. So electromagnetism, the weak nuclear force, strong nuclear force, that was going to be explained by quantum physics. And then gravity was going to be explained by Einstein's general theory of relativity. Now that's real helpful, isn't it? You're all thinking, yes, I'm so glad we know that. Yeah. Well, but here's what happened. He posited this idea, and then, man, that idea just exploded. And so now people started thinking that maybe we, and here's what Dawkins said, or Hawking said. Those two names are messed up in my twisted little mind. What he said was, if we can pull these four concepts together, then we can have the mind of God. Now, at this point, Hawking was an agnostic. Now he has come to be a Christian. But at this point, he was an agnostic. And here's where this becomes important. Hawking kind of burst onto the world stage as a young man in the 1970s. He was working under a professor named Roger Penrose. And Roger Penrose is really well known because he discovered black holes. And so the concept of the black hole is that you have a star that under the weight, and he based this on Einstein's theory of relativity. So what he determined was a black hole is when you have a star that collapses based on its own gravity. And when it collapses, its surface space becomes zero. Okay? So all of this weight, it becomes a very dense black hole. And when you have this black hole, it became what is known as a singularity. And the concept of a singularity is when you have a singularity, then there is a bend or an anomaly in the space-time continuum. Time travel, all that stuff, all the science fiction stuff that comes from black holes. And it's interesting. I look at Nathaniel Tennant and others who really their minds are into this kind of thing. And a lot of stuff is based on black holes, right? You go into a black hole and you know, you're into a different dimension now and a different reality. And it spawned all kinds of thought. But it also caused a problem for a lot of naturalists. A naturalist it's not a person that studies nature. A naturalist is a person who believes that the universe can only be explained through naturalistic explanations. that you can, it had to just happen. There is no outside interference. Well, one of the first problems that naturalists had was when the Big Bang was introduced, because they didn't like the idea that there was a beginning to the universe, because that kind of lent credibility to theists, people like us who believe there was a beginning. So now if a theist can say, well, even you say that there was a beginning, we just believe in the beginning God, you believe that in the beginning there was some explosion. Remember what we said a few weeks ago, there was nothing and it exploded. And that's the Big Bang. So when it was understood that way, then there was a beginning. Well, now, and we're going somewhere with this, now you have Penrose and Hawking, they come up with this idea of the black hole and time, and that if there is this black hole, this singularity, then since we have this ever-expanding universe, that it began at a point in time with a singularity. You see? So that's their idea. And that's Hawking's premise in The Brief History of Time. But here's where this caused a problem for the naturalist. If you have this singularity, so you go all the way back in time, and even if it is billions and billions and billions of years, if you go back to where you have this singularity, here's what happens. When you have a singularity, that is where infinity begins. In the curve of the space-time continuum, when you get back to the singularity, that's where infinity begins. And here's the problem for the scientists. Where infinity begins, that means that there was a time when the laws of science did not exist. And so this brings up a metaphysical problem for the naturalist. And that is, if there was a point in time when the laws of science did not exist, then how did they come to exist? That becomes a real problem for a person who believes that you can only explain the universe in the terms of a natural or a non-God, a non-supernatural explanation. I was listening this morning to Richard Dawkins, and he was having a discussion with a man named Alistair McGrath, a man who believes in God. And Dawkins said this. He said, if you told me that on some planet somewhere that a God evolved, and then he seeded life on this earth, I could believe that. You see, the problem is that they are trying to explain the world but reject the fact that God exists. Now, here's the issue. Here's the issue. We have discovered through science, through observation, that we live in a very orderly world. We do not live in a chaotic world. Isn't that right? Even the scientist who tries to bring a geologic column is going to show you the order of the universe. They're demonstrating that order in the universe. Well, how does order come out of disorder? It can't. Order cannot come out of disorder. How many of you, your house cleans itself? It doesn't happen. If I go into my son's room, he has Noah or one of his friends over, and we go into the room halfway through their time together, we don't say, isn't it amazing how all these toys are in their proper place? No, because Laura would have had Jacob make sure that room was clean before the friends came. It was in a state of order. Entropy brings it to a state of disorder. And how does it get back to a state of order? Mom says, Jacob, put your toys back, clean your room before you go to bed. So what do we understand? It takes energy. It takes energy and intelligence to bring order to disorder. Now, we've used a lot of technical terms, but we understand in the universe there is order. Well, where does that order come from? Well, God brings order to disorder. And let's look at Genesis chapter 1. There's something that's really interesting. A man named Herbert Spencer in 1903, he determined, and he was a non-Christian, but he determined that there are only five categories of reality. There's five. Everything falls into five categories. Those five categories are time, and force, action, space, and matter. Time, force, action, space, and matter. And he won all kinds of awards for this great categorizing of information. That's right. It's good stuff. So it's 1903. And he's hailed, wins all kinds of awards, and these categories are still used today. Now look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, that's time, God, that's force, created, that's action, the heaven, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. You can't make this stuff up. I'm just telling you, we have a supernatural book, and God classified those five categories 4,000 years ago when we got the Scriptures. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So let's go on. You talk about bringing order to disorder. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now here's the disorder. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So God begins to bring order to disorder. He begins by speaking. And look at what he says. This is the first thing, the first recorded words we have of God, Genesis 1 and verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The reason that we know that this isn't some long period of time is because the evening and the morning were the first day. It identifies the period of time for us. So in this one day, God created the heaven and the earth, and he created light. So he spoke light, and it happened. So this is how God works. God begins by introducing light. Now look at what he does. He dispels the darkness. And I like this statement. A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. There are a lot of people who don't believe that God did this. Their belief says nothing about the truth, but it says a lot about them. Listen to the statement again. A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He began, he created everything, he spoke everything, and it leapt into existence, but you had a mass that was full of disorder. Look at verse 6. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So here's what God did. He looks out. There's all this water. That's all there is water. And God divides it. Isn't it interesting? When you look at God, God is always dividing something. We have this idea that God is this great unifying factor. But the first things that we start to understand about God is he is going to divide. He's going to divide light from darkness. Here he's going to divide the waters from the waters. And what it says he did was he took the water that was below and put it in one place. And then he put a firmament and he used that firmament to divide the waters above from the waters below. The firmament, and that's just another word for an expanse. What God did was he inserted a gassy layer so that we can breathe. And he created that firmament and he divided the waters from the waters. What is God beginning to do? The earth was without form and void. It's disorder. And now God begins to bring order to the universe because that's what God does. God is an orderly God. Now, listen to this. And this is important. I gave you an example from Genesis chapter 1 that we learned from Herbert Spencer that there are these five categories and that God had known of those categories a long time ago. But I heard this morning in that discussion between Alistair McGrath and Richard Dawkins. Here's what McGrath said. "I don't believe in God because he has a good explanation." Did you get that? He said, I don't believe in God because he has a good explanation. And here's the idea. There are some people that say, if you could just explain God to me, I would understand or I would believe. We believe in God because God has revealed himself in Scripture. And as you test the veracity or truthfulness of Scripture, it's been demonstrated to be true. I believe God because he has revealed himself to us in a supernatural book. This book has been proven to be supernatural because God speaks history before it happens. It's called prophecy. And so God, thousands of years ahead of time, tells us things that are going to happen in his Bible. We've demonstrated that already by those five categories, right? He does that over and over again. And there are more than 300 specific prophecies that dealt with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came as a virgin, when he was born, how he would come, where the town he would be born in. All of it was specifically prophesied. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. So I don't believe in God because he's a good explanation for what's going on in the universe. But as I believe in God, then all of a sudden I understand the universe. See? Now, let's go on. The first thing that God dealt with was the darkness, and he said, let there be light. The next thing he deals with is the disorder. And this was the thought that I was trying to find in my memory and couldn't find it. Listen to this. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. See, here's what happens. Because I believe in God, I believe in the God of the Bible. What God has done, because I believe in him, is he has given me, if I take off my glasses, some of you are much better looking. Okay? When I take off my glasses, I don't see you all very well. Well, this is the way that man stumbles through life without God. When I meet the God of the Bible and I believe in his existence, it changes God not at all. But when I believe in his existence and I start understanding what he has revealed in his word, all of a sudden I can see. I can see. Where the Bible says we used to stumble in darkness, now we have light. And the Bible says that the light is the Word of God. And we saw last week when God said the first words we have from God is let there be light. And we understand from that point on that his Word is always light. And that's why we understand things. So I believe in God and I believe in Christianity, the God of the Bible. And what that does is it helps me understand everything else and see everything else. So here in our text, the Bible says that God created the heaven and the earth. He spoke the light into existence, and now he starts dealing with the disorder. Now, I want you to see something. If you look in verse 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and he set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So now here's what we have. And we noticed that last week that when God said, let there be light, he created the light before he created the instruments that would bear the light. I think that that's really cool. And then something else that we see is he created the firmament and then he set something in the firmament. What we learn from the scripture is that there are three heavens. There are three heavens. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. That's what we breathe. The second heaven is the heaven that's referred to here, and that's space. The third heaven is the throne of God. So there are three heavens that are talked about in the scriptures. So then God speaks of heaven and earth, and he speaks them into being. He divides the darkness and the light. Then he divides the waters from the waters, and he deals with the disorder. Now, let me say this. Nothing is more descriptive of our world as we see it right now. No two words describe our world better than darkness and disorder. darkness, and disorder. How many of you think the world's getting better? It is just amazing how entropy works in every area. Entropy works in every area. When we discover God's order, then things are good. When we reject God's order, then things are bad. Dysfunctional homes, chemical addiction, rebellion and chaos in the schools. Now listen, remember the quote that we gave all the way back at the beginning. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. The world that Charles Darwin has given us is the world of dysfunctional homes. It's the world of chemical dependence. It's the world of you're an animal. Do whatever your animal desires bring you to do. It's disorder. It's disorder. Disorder is always the product of a worldview that begins with man reaching out instead of beginning with God and learning from Him and what He has said. When you change God's order, you have disorder. You know what God's order in the universe is called? Wisdom. Wisdom is seeing the world the way that God sees it. If you're wise, then you'll find out what God has said. You will learn what God has said. Then you will obey what God has said. So God is a God of order. God designed the world. He created the world. He divided things in the world. God created Adam and Eve. He made it for a man and a woman to live together in a bond of marriage for life. That's God's plan. That's order, isn't it? That's order. That's God's plan. When you mess up that order, then you end up with a civilization that is in chaos. God has ordered human government. God expects a government to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and for the subjects of that government to be submissive to that leadership. When you mess up that order, either the subjects not doing what they're supposed to or the leaders not doing what they're supposed to, you have chaos. You cannot violate God's laws. How did America become great? We had a bunch of people that looked in the Word of God and found out how God says that we ought to establish a culture. They did that. And it produced the most prosperous, blessed nation in the history of the world. God determined how we're supposed to do it. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. The Bible says that when you do work, you should receive the benefits of that labor. Then the Bible says when you do that, you should set some aside for poor people. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also says that then what we're supposed to do is when we have a government that we're supposed to take a portion of what we get and support the government. And then what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to take a portion of what we get and we support the Lord's work. When we do those things, there is order in the universe, there's prosperity, God blesses it. How many of you know that's how our country was founded? When some of those things start getting out of whack, then you have chaos. How many of you understand that we have an entire class that's being established? More than half of our country thinks that the government owes them something. You understand that? You understand where we're going with that? Pastor, why do you always have to get political? Because you cannot separate politics from truth. You can't separate your home life. If you spend more than you earn, you are not going to last very long. You can't do it. God has established order. When we get outside of God's order, then we have chaos. That's disorder. And that brings destruction. So how does God bring order? Well, we see this creative decree. Look at what it says in verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament. So what you have is God's word. It's spoken. God created with His word. He did this just by speaking it. So God speaks, but then there's something that I want you to see. It's very simple. If you look from verses 9 through verse 13, there are 126 words in the English text. You ready for this? Now, don't miss this. This is so interesting to me. 126 words. 100 of those words are one-syllable words. Other than the word firmament, which once you understand that it's an expanse, other than the word firmament, there's nothing that's difficult to understand in that. Then why do you have so many highly educated people not understanding what it says? Because remember what happens. You have to be taught how to be that ignorant. You have to have someone teach you how to not understand something. Because the words are very simple. God said what happened. He described exactly what happened. And you know what I think is interesting? When it talks about dividing the waters from the waters, when you read some of the old commentaries, it's talking about all this vapor and everything that's up there. Well, it can't be vapor because that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about water. How many of you understand what water is? Now, water has different forms, right? Liquid, solid, gas, and now we understand plasma. If you heat it up really hot, you have four different forms that it can take. But we need to understand that when the Bible talks about water, we see what the water is because it's divided here in oceans and rivers and lakes and streams. You know what we found out now? That there's water in outer space, too. Isn't it funny that God knew that all the way back in Genesis chapter 1? All the way back in Genesis chapter 1. So here's the thing that you need to understand. God spoke, and then it's very simple. Somebody said that simplicity is truth's most becoming garb. He says he did it. He just divided it. He set it in place. And then God's word is also sustaining. It's sustaining. Hebrews 1 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged himself, by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." God's word is so powerful, he could create everything. Here's a question for you. Are you depressed? Are you down? Are you struggling? Do you know what you can do that can help you with all of that? How about you get in God's word and you understand how powerful it is? God's word is powerful enough that he created everything in this world by it, and he can sustain you if you'll just get into that word and find a truth where God can help you. Man, we are in troubling times, aren't we? Do you know what? God has not left you alone. He loves you so much, he gave you promises in his word that you can hold on to. And they're solid. They're just as true as the creation of the world. Listen to this. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb." Do you know how you know whether or not the Word of God is more real to you than money? Where do you go when you lose your job? You go to the Word of God? Do you trust it? Do you rest in it? We need to do that. Tom, turn the air down a little bit. It's too warm in here. Then, so the Word of God is satisfying, but the Word of God is also specific. Now listen to this. When God brings order to a person's life, he doesn't do it in generic terms. He becomes very specific. He says, man cannot live by bread alone. Now, you understand what that means, right? But by the Word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. So if you want to have life, you want to know how to live, you need to know the Bible. So the Bible becomes very specific. Jesus said, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, then you're going to know how to have life. The Bible says you're made clean by my words. The second you presume to change one syllable of God's word, then you can't know God's truth. Because God's words are very specific. Then, the Bible talks about the power of his word and the design of his word. When God brings order to disorder, if you look at verse 6 again, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." This begins for us seeing the order that God makes. In the next chapter, God will create a man. Then God will create a woman for that man. All the way through the scriptures, we understand that the Bible is God's book of divine order. When we progress a little bit farther, if you look at Genesis chapter 3, look at it with me. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Well, look at verse 13. Remember what happened? Adam and Eve have sinned. God comes looking for them. And the Lord God said, verse 13, unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now look at verse 15. And I will put enmity. That's enmity. That's hostility. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a war. Aggression. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What is this talking about? That Jesus Christ was going to come from the seed of woman. This is the prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ would defeat Satan. And we understand from 1 John, the Bible says that he was manifested. The reason that Jesus Christ came into the world was to destroy the works of the devil. Right? So now God has established an order. Jesus Christ will come and reveal himself as the way, the truth, and the life. That's God's order. God's order is this. God reveals to us in Scripture. Now remember, when you have God's order, then you have success. When you get away from God's order, then you have destruction. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 demonstrates the inevitable result of humanism, of this naturalistic philosophy. If you have the idea that you can make it through life using your own intellect and your own reason, look at what the Bible says. Verse 16, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that doeth. Is that what it says? To everyone that joins a church. Is that what it says? To everyone that gives a lot of money. That's a good parent. Is that what it says? So what do you do with the gospel? Do you do the gospel or do you believe the gospel? What's the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that because it's the power of God unto salvation. So if you want to be saved and have eternal life, you've got to believe the gospel. So how many of you understand that? That's very simple in the Word of God. Very simple, foundational. Okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is that clear? Are those simple words again? Okay, now look at what the Bible says. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that as is written, the just shall live by faith, not by works. The just shall live by faith. Now, look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So they know the truth. They know the truth. Now look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or made plain in them, for God has showed it unto them. Laura knows this. I was speaking to a guy one time, and he said, when I die, I asked him, what's going to happen when you die? When you die, you're going to stand before God. What's going to happen? And he said, well, if I die and there is a God, I'm going to spit in his face. And I said, why? And he said, because you didn't show yourself to me good enough. Have you looked outside? Have you looked at the creation? The Bible says, it gives the answer right here. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, what does it say? Without excuse. So here's the idea. I'm going to spit in his face because he didn't do enough. He created the whole... What do you want? Have you ever said this to somebody? What do you want from me? What else can I do for you? God says, I made everything. All right, and it reveals himself. Now look at verse 21. And here's what happens. This is what happens when you begin with a humanistic mindset. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What's the first thing that God said? Let there be light. You don't have to be in darkness. He said, let there be light. But their foolish heart was darkened. Look at this. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's harsh language, isn't it? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Environmentalism, maybe. Wherefore God also gave... Have you seen our Go banners out in the parking lot? A reporter from the Sydney paper stopped and asked Pastor Nathan if we were doing something on going green. Where are our banners? Oh, right here. You have these banners that says Go, and it has a picture of the globe, and it has some grass. So I thought that we were doing some kind of environmental thing. Man, I love the environment, but the Bible says that God's going to come and destroy it. We're not going to, right? So I'm just, you know, Jesus is going to come back whether I use hairspray or not. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's go on. Verse 24, wherefore, so because they did this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now look at what they did. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So here's what happens. When people get rid of God and they start worshiping the creation, they start having a naturalistic mindset. One of the best ways that you see that that's happening is homosexuality. That's what the Bible says right here. This is the result. Now look at what it says in verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, so they receive it. And of course, we understand that men who live in this sodomite lifestyle, you understand that they die. The average age, the average life expectancy of a sodomite male is 45 years old. That's how long they're going to live, apart from AIDS. So God gives them the result of their disorder in their own lifestyle. So let's go on. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, oh, I can't know if there's a God or not, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Can we stop there for a second? Disobedient to parents. See, here's what happens. When we have a worldly mindset, we think it's okay for our kids to say no to us. That's when we get outside of God's order. Amen? Now look. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Without natural affection, what's more unnatural than killing a baby? Our natural bent is to protect children, isn't it? What's more unnatural than killing a baby? Implacable, unmerciful. Now, that covenant breakers, remember when there used to be a time when my word is my bond? You'd shake your hand on something, shake a man's hand on something, and that was it. The deal was done. Now you've got to have contracts and lawyers and everything. And I'm thankful we have good lawyers, aren't you? Because there are so many covenant breakers. All right, so now go on. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is, and here's the idea. That's not the happy, feel-good passage. Right? Now, how many of you understand that's the world that we live in, right? That's where we are. So what's the good news, Pastor? What's the good news? That God has revealed His order to us. We can have happy homes. We can have God-blessed children. We can have obedient children. We can have good relationships between husband and wife. We can have prosperity financially. We can have all of those things when we do God's will. Because God has established His order. And God's order works. Man's order ends in disorder. Here's God's order. It's very simple. Jesus Christ said it this way. It's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that there's a... He divides. Jesus always divides. Jesus said that there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life. The narrow way goes through Jesus Christ. Not through working hard. It goes through Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. Because the Bible says, the Apostle Paul made it very clear. He said this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is a gift. I'm so glad that I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I know that when I die today, I get to go to heaven. That's the good news. You know what some of the good news is? Jacob, come up here with me for a minute. This is my son, Jacob, if you don't know him. Do the mutant gopher for us. Okay, come here, buddy. Come here. Can you tell he's my son? You know what I'm so glad about? I'm so happy. Here, come up here so we can see. Everybody can see you because we're so tall. Here's what I'm happy about. Can I give you some good news? He can have a great life. He can have a great life. Do you know what he can have? Eternal life. See, Jacob, if you died today, where would you go?
Heaven.
Why?
Because I'm saved.
And how'd you get saved?
I asked Jesus in my heart.
He knows Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you come to Him as one of these little children, unless you come to Him like one of these little children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't do it. I'm so happy that Jacob gets to have a great life. He doesn't have to have trouble in marriage. He doesn't have to have trouble. He doesn't have to get into drugs. He doesn't have to get into all those things. He can have a good life. Do you know how I know that? Because my parents showed me how to have that good life. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and through being obedient to His Word based on receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then the Holy Spirit shines His light on the Word of God. And then you can know where to walk. And the Bible talks about how it directs your steps. What God did all the way back in Genesis chapter 1 was He brought order to disorder. We have an order in our home. God's the head. I try to love my wife. She submits to me. And the children obey us. That's God's plan. We have order in the home, so we have peace in the home. Do you know what that structure is doing for Jacob? Jacob's going to know what his house is supposed to look like. Jacob is going to know what kind of girl to look for when he starts liking girls. He's going to... this is brutal, isn't it? You ready to go back to the gopher? Yeah. See, he's going to get braces and won't be able to do that anymore, you know? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. He's going to know what kind of godly lady to look for because Mom has demonstrated that. I hope that he's going to know what kind of godly father to be because I've demonstrated that. Why can we do that? Because we're really great people. No. Because God brought order to disorder. God brought order to disorder. Now, don't raise your hands. But I wonder, how many of you came from a dysfunctional family? If you came from a dysfunctional family, I've got a great idea. Let's start our own dysfunctional family. That's a bad idea, isn't it? What we can do is we can bring God's order to disorder. Man, and that's the good news. The world's a mess. My home doesn't have to be. The world's a mess. Jacob doesn't have to be. Lydia, we're praying for. The world does not have to be a mess. Amen? Your world doesn't. The Bible says you can have peace in this world. You can have joy in this world. You can have fulfillment in this world, happiness. That's what I want for Jacob. And it all starts with God bringing order to disorder. And only God can do that. Do you know what the word heaven means? The word heaven, the root... Thanks, Jake. The root for that word heaven, where God created the heaven, it means to lift up. To lift up. If you understood how much water weighs, I think it weighs... Well, I won't get specific. Too many people here wouldn't know that I was wrong. But the water is so heavy. God, though, just with a word, lifted all that water up, placed the heavens, and then told us how to get there. And then, because we were having such a hard time getting there, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take us by the hand and take us with Him. God is such a God of order, He revealed His order. His order is this. We're all sinners. That's it. We all deserve hell. Because we can't pay for our penalty, because that penalty is hell for our sin, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay for that sin. I can never be good enough to pay for it. And then Jesus Christ rose from the dead, proving that He was and is God. And if I'll believe that and receive the free gift of eternal life that He's offering me, then I can have eternal life also. And then I can begin God's order in my home. How many of you want that order in your home? It all starts. It all starts by placing your faith and trust in God's Word and then believing it. Believing it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much.